This is the Soccer Know My Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Long. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974. And make sure to check out the Soccer Nomad blog at soccernomad.wordpress.com. Finally, subscribe to the podcast on Podomatic or on iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad. I appreciate all feedback, so please leave a rating and review. For this episode, I'm watching El Clasico with the Real Madrid supporters of Atlanta. El Clasico is one of the biggest dates on the football calendar and sees two of the biggest teams of the world go head-to-head. For a while, I supported Barcelona. Just happened that way. Had I started following Real Madrid during the rise of the Galacticos, Figo, Zidane, Bex, El Fenomeno, etc., Los Blancos may have been my preferred Spanish team. Instead, I started watching the Blaugrana during the days of Rivaldo, Figo, Luis Enrique, and the Dutch contingents, and loved to watch their brand of football. Now I just watch the game to see some of the greatest players in the world. The first El Clasico I can remember is the game after Figo switched sides in the summer of 2000, as ESPN would show the occasional La Liga game. I loved him at Barcelona and was sad to see him go over to the evil empire. I definitely didn't have the hatred that the Nou Camp supporters show when he returned to the Nou Camp, and I vaguely remember the famous Pig's Head game that followed. I have to admit that classical viewings in the early 2000s were hit and miss. Once I heard that Ronaldinho was actually cheered by the Real Madrid fans, I had to find the highlights, during which I saw an amazing performance by the Brazilian. Then in March 2007, I read the match report about the 3-3 draw and found snippets of the game, including a hat-trick from Messi, but wasn't enough to keep Real Madrid from winning the title that season. I haven't missed a league Clasico since Pep took over. Some of the matches have been duds, December 2008 and November 2009, in which Real Madrid used an overly physical approach to nullify a Barcelona team in the ascendancy, while others have been Blaugrana epics, May 2009 and the Manita of November 2010 come to mind. Another match was from the fall of 2012, in which Ronaldo and Messi both scored two goals. Of course, there was a classical apocalypse of 2011, which saw the rivals play four times in 20 days. I watched both legs of the Champions League semi and the league encounter, but missed most of the Copa del Rey final because of work, although I did see Ronaldo's winning goal. The two teams have played 172 times in the league, with Real Madrid winning 72 times, Barcelona winning 68 times, and 32 draws. Think about how close that is. The two Spanish giants have split their last four league matches. Okay, let's look ahead to the match. Barcelona are 6 points behind in the league, while in the Champions League, they have topped the group with a match to spare. Real Madrid lead La Liga and must beat Borussia Dortmund on match day 6 to win the group. Recent form, it's all Real Madrid. They are unbeaten in over 30 matches. They've won their last five league matches, while Barcelona have been sort of hit and miss in the league and have drawn their last two matches against Malaga and Real Sociedad. Barcelona's home record is 3 wins, 2 draws, and a loss, while Real Madrid have 5 wins and 1 draw away. Moving on to today's match, Real Madrid supporters Club of Atlanta are one of 14 peñas throughout the United States. The group has grown and can be found at the Old Blind Dog in Brookhaven for every Real Madrid match. The leadership of the group has been on the Soccer Nomad podcast before, and I watched last year's El Clasico towards the end of the year, in which Real Madrid secured a 2-1 win. This event has to be seen to be believed. There was a huge raffle, including a signed Cristiano Ronaldo jersey, a DJ, kits for sales, beer specials, flags, and scarves all over the place. The bar closes down for just Real Madrid fans, and that's important. Anyone with FC Barcelona colors is asked to leave. Okay, well, I'm almost here at the Old Blind Dog and looking forward to a good match.
Okay, so I'm joined by Javier and Mahin from Madridistas ATL. You guys, I don't know. I don't know how to describe what just happened. It's just, you guys put on a fantastic show. Javier is like standing on the balcony next to the DJ, leading the chants in front of the flag. It was an amazing experience. Let's just talk about the match real quick. We did a little bit beforehand, but just talk about the match real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think Barca came out as you would expect. They came out strong. They had us on our heels probably for the first 10 or 15 minutes. But I think once we took over control of the midfield, because that's where Barca was having the upper hand, I think Modric and Kovacic did a great job. We started to take control of the game. That's when our opportunity started to happen. Of course, early on, Cristiano had the controversial penalty that wasn't called.
That wasn't any controversy. That was a penalty.
Okay, well, but controversy in the sense that it wasn't called. I think we went into the half, even though we were tied 0-0, knowing that we were playing very well and feeling really confident coming out in the second half. obviously, you know, Luis Enrique changed his system around a little bit. As soon as Iniesta came in and then, you know, Casemiro came in for us, the game changed. And there was 10, 15 minutes where Barca was definitely, you know, taking over the game. They scored their goal. And then it was a nail biter to the end for us, obviously. And, you know,
I think that I mean, what you say is right. But also we have to see the game. If you see, neither Barcelona or us, we were able to score on a play. Okay, both goals came from a free kick, and that says a lot about how the game was. I think we controlled the game. The first half was completely under control by Real Madrid. On the second half, Luis Enrique saw that there was something wrong, so he changed. Unfortunately, Zizou did not change anything, so he went out with the same, not only with the same team, but the same formation. And when you know, after the goal, that it was a free kick, everything changed. They get confident. They were start to, you know, when you give the ball to Barcelona, it's like you put a gun to your head, you know. So they were able to touch the ball all around, and we were behind the ball. I would say 15, 20 minutes, they were actually on our side of the field. And then we just like, okay, wake up. We have to wake up. So I would say the last 8-10 minutes. Yeah. It was when we, okay, all right. So we have to go out there. And then we have that free kick again. Two goals, both goals were from free kick. It's not, we weren't able to go and score in a play. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that first half, like you said, Real Madrid dominated. And they had two really clear-cut chances. They unfortunately not struck with enough pace, and they were struck right at Ter Stegen. And I think Real Madrid probably definitely edged the first half, could have put the game out of reach even.
Definitely, yes.
In the second half, like you said, Barcelona, you know, tweaked a couple things, took control, got the goal. And then, but I mean, like we were saying before we started recording, once Real Madrid scored, I really thought they were going to score again. I could see the goal coming. Cristiano got a couple chances, but like Sergio Ramos had a half chance, the header over the bar. And once he did that, I was like, it's coming. I don't know how they're going to score, but they're going to come.
Well, I mean, that's trademark Real Madrid, right? I mean, that's we never give up. We're always in the game. And that's what, you know, we as fans are always counting on. And yeah, Sergio Ramos came through yet again.
After the 90th minute, because he don't like to score before the 90th minute. He likes to score after the 90th minute.
And yeah, and this place went absolutely bonkers. It went absolutely crazy when he scored, and we celebrated it almost as if we had won, just because everybody was on edge, and it was absolutely.
Brenda said that you guys celebrated as if you had won. I was like, because they did. As long as you guys didn't lose. This championship essentially to Real Madrid before Christmas? Is that fair to say? Or if Barcelona had won, got down to three, now it's a little bit tighter, so and so on, so forth. But once you guys equalize, it's like it stays at 6 points. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's what was the key, right? We were going in knowing that a victory or a tie was good for us. Anything other than that was not, you know, obvious. But from a Real Madrid fan, we wanted to put them away. And I don't think it's the same putting them away with a tie and having them at six, whether putting them away with nine and going into the end of the year with 9 points. Not only going into the end of the year with 9 points gap, but going to Japan to play the World Cup of Clubs, knowing that we had a game in hand, because we got to play a game in the spring, right? So game, you know, we would be a game down with 9 points on top of our eternal rivals. But we'll take the tie. 6 points is obviously way better than having them at 3 points away. And yeah, we're happy about it. Yeah.
The other thing about that is that we are going to the World Cup club with 6 point gap. That is huge for us. You have to remember that we play at Barcelona, so we have to go back to the Bernabeu to play there. So, you know, looking on those type of things, and you know, now everything, you know, everybody's cool down and everything. But I think, I mean, I was telling them that obviously I would prefer a victory, but I will not be mad for a tie, especially because it was a Barcelona. You know, when you're away, Barcelona is a tough thing. and especially when they play at home. And with this tie, I think you know we're gonna go really good to the World Cup, and expecting to have a really good tournament there.
Just going back to the celebration. So we're at Old Blind Dog in Brookhaven. This is the official bar for Madrid Jesus ATL, and there's really no you can't describe. I was with you guys in the spring, and there was more people there. I mean, like you literally could not get in the door. Because it was, I want to say, like a 2 p.m. kickoff. Yeah, it was a late kickoff. This is the 10 a.m. kickoff. I mean, when you guys scored, there's really nothing like it. Everyone is going completely mental. It's awesome. The like I said, Javier's leading the cheer after the end. The song, Scars in the Air, Take a Picture. There's a great sense of camaraderie and community. And, I mean, if you're a Real Madrid fan in anywhere near Atlanta, this is the place to be. But I just love the environment. I mean, I'm mildly impartial. But the environment is like, this is how games, if we can't be at the Nou Camp or the Bernabeu, this is how games should be watched. So I just want to say hats off to you guys. You know, you do a raffle. You have scarves. You have just, it's just a great, I mean, this is, you guys are not watching the game with like a college football game or an NFL game or NBA. This is completely Real Madrid, completely focused on obviously one of the biggest matches of the year. So talk about the group since we've talked last time, maybe what's happened in the last year or so. Talk about the summer tour. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that from you guys. So what's going on with the group, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say that it wouldn't be possible without a group effort from the entire board. You know, there's five of us on the board who organized this and put this on, and we work really hard at it. So I just want to personally say hats off to my group. But at the same time, you know, it's the fans that come here, all the Real Madrid fans, all of our members. It's heartfelt. And, it's an incredible environment, as you described. And... well, yeah, hopefully if there are any Real Madrid fans who are listening to this podcast and haven't been here with us for a game, we certainly invite them to show up and experience it with us.
Also we want to thank our sponsors. I think without them any of this has been would be impossible. All Blind Dog, you know, this place is a family pub restaurant. And they open at 11 a.m. You know, they
9:30. They normally open at 11.
They normally open today just for us. You know, they open. We have been here since 8 o'clock in the morning. That's awesome. Lloyd Soccer. You know, they has been awesome with us. Guinness. You know, we have Guinness cares going around. You know, for everybody that is drinking Guinness, they're getting goodies. So we have a lot to thank. A lot of people. And I think that's great. We really feel that we don't only have our board that works really hard, but we also have the support of everyone that want to be part of this family, because we have this Peña as a family. You know, we're not turning anyone away, even if they are not members. You know, we welcome them here. And then if they decide to become a member, you know, that's their decision. But we're always looking, you know, for any Real Madrid fan that is in Atlanta or metro area to come here and join us, just for them to see how a family is.
Like I said before, talk real quick about you guys went to the Meadowlands this summer. You guys focus on the I think they played Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Is that right? So you played Bayern Munich at the Meadowlands, but you guys got to do a lot of cool stuff that I was able to follow through social media. So why don't you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, no. So this was our second time traveling to see the team as a group. A couple of years ago, we went to Ann Arbor and we saw Real Madrid play Manchester United. There was about a dozen of us who got in a van and drove 13 hours overnight to get there. And that was an amazing experience. But this summer, we went to New York. And we saw Real Madrid play Bayern Munich at Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium. And the day before, I should say that we were also there with eight of our other supporters clubs from around the U.S., Miami, L.A., Houston, New Jersey, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C. So there were several of us there. And shortly, the day before the game, we had an audience with Florentino Perez, who's for those who don't know, chairman of Real Madrid, and Emilio Butragueño, you know, player, Real Madrid legend, who also holds an executive position within the club. And we got to meet them. They hung out with us, talked to us, signed autographs, took pictures, and met with all nine of the supporters clubs that were there. So that was an absolutely amazing experience.
We also, I mean, in that reception by the club, you know, we want to thank Mr. Raul. He has been in touch with us every time that the team comes to the U.S. You know, he has been always in touch with us to organize everything.
I should clarify that we're not talking about Raul, the player.
No. Yeah, we're talking that marketing. I think he's a marketing director, public affairs from Real Madrid club, and in the stadium it was unbelievable. I don't know, for us actually our biggest European rival is not Barcelona. It's actually Bayern Munich. That's our, you know, our big rivals in Europe is Bayern Munich. So to be there in the stadium, you know, to listen and to have the environment, the atmosphere is there with the Real Madrid chants and everything, I think that was awesome.
Yeah, and between the nine Peñas that were there together, we had organized ourselves and had a giant banner when the team came out, and we had that in the end zone and whatnot.
So,
yeah.
Last time you guys were on, you talked about how engaged you are with the club and this sort of engagement both ways. I mean, you guys get a private audience with the chairman of one of the biggest clubs in the world. Let me say that again. You got a private audience with Florentino Perez. That's pretty amazing. And, you know, to even shake his hand or say a minute, say hello. And, you know, I know you guys, last time we were on, we focused on Raul's trip when he was playing for the Cosmos, when he played the Silverbacks. It's just cool that you guys have that sort of access. I mean, I know that some of the raffle prizes you give are completely off the charts. I think last spring, the signed Cristiano Ronaldo jersey.
Excuse me. We had an autographed jersey by eight of the players on the squad.
And Navas, some of them.
And so, unfortunately, today we didn't have that kind of level of raffle prize. But I want to touch on what you said about the connection that Real Madrid has with the Peñas around the world. And I'm going to give a plug to a book that I just read. It's a book called Real Madrid Way by the author Steven Mandez, and he touches on exactly that. He talks about why the team is successful, and not just on the field but off the field, like what we're talking about, the connection that, you know, the club has with his fans, with the Peñas, with everything else around the world. And I think they said they have like 540 million fans around the world. But the book touches about the reason that is. It's not. Yes, it is the history. It's the big time players. It's the trophies. Yes, that's all of it. It's part of it. But what the book really tries to emphasize is that it's the values transmitted through the club by the community itself, and that the executives that work at the club realize that, and that's the key. That's the key of why Real Madrid is as successful as it is, and you know. Given that the current,
I just listened to a podcast with the author, and he touched about all those things and the amazing level of access he got to sort of Real Madrid's finances, training, history. The Real Madrid Way. What was the author again?
Steven Mendes.
So look that up. I'll put that in the show notes. But that is definitely an excellent resource.
And I would say it's a good read, even for non-Real Madrid fans. I mean, he goes in and analyzes the NBA, the Major League Baseball, NFL. He ties he uses Real Madrid as an example. But if you're a sports fan, it's a great book. He does a great job with it.
He compares because remember, in the last Forbes list of the richest sport teams in the world, Real Madrid came first. And you have to ask yourself, why a soccer team, you know, came with that unbelievable numbers? And we are comparing Real Madrid with the Cowboys. We're comparing with the Patriots. I would say the best franchises in the U.S. market. And just because of that, I think any sport fans that want to know, okay, how to involve not only the sport side of, you know, of that, but also the finances. I think that's a really good book.
You know, in preparation for this, I sort of scanned through my resources. I mean, the book by Phil Ball, The White Storm. I don't know if you guys have read that, but that's very good. Fear and Loathing in La Liga by Sid Lowe is a very... Yeah, it's a very interesting comparison. It focuses exclusively on Barcelona and Madrid, sort of the give and take, the history. That's a good one. From a Barcelona perspective, there's the Graham Hunter book, Barca, and there's also Barca, People's Passion by Jimmy Burns. But anyway, I'm going to follow the show notes. What are some other main resources, either in Spanish or English, that for either Real Madrid specifically or El Clasico generally, you want to throw out there?
I mean, I guess just because it's top of mind, the Real Madrid Way was a good read, and you just rattled off several good books. For Real Madrid fans out there who are Spanish speakers, there is an excellent biography by Alfredo Di Stéfano that came out a few years ago called Gracias Vieja, which means thank you. Vieja is old or old one, but that's how it was kind of an affectionate name that he had for the ball. It's an excellent biography. If you want to get an understanding of why Alfredo Di Stéfano was such an icon for Real Madrid, that would be a highly recommended book.
I will also say that my president right here, Javier, he have at his house a Real Madrid museum. It is crazy how many things, because remember, he grew up in Madrid. He used to go to Bernabeu every single weekend, and he have flags, he have his scarf, he have all type of stuff. They have he have books and everything. I was actually trying to get it to go to that event that all the
SoccerCon.
Correct. SoccerCon. Unfortunately,
2017. Stay tuned. I expect to see that there. Okay.
Hey, you know, it's crazy because he had a little Bernabeu museum at his home, and I think we're gonna show up there. I will also say that. We have to make sure that people understand that before 1990, our Clásico was not with Barcelona. And many of the things that Javi have is it was versus Athletic Bilbao. That was the Spanish Clásico. Now, with all, you know, this technology and internet and all that, you know, Barcelona came, and that's we call them the modern Clásico. But if you go back in the time and see Real Madrid's history and the history of La Liga, basically, you'll see that the biggest game before 1990 was Real Madrid Athletic Bilbao.
Well, but that's not to say that, you know, games against Barcelona in the, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s weren't a big deal.
How can people find you guys on social media? Twitter, I know you guys have a website, so website, Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is everything is Madridistas ATL, so that makes it really easy. Our website is MadridistasATL.com. If you just search for Madridistas ATL on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you'll find us. It's easy.
We have a cool the last Madrid derbies, we did a mannequin challenge.
Yes, you did, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was awesome. One of our members went to the derby in Madrid, and he say, you know, he texts us right away. Guys, I just saw you in Real Madrid TV. And not only Real Madrid TV, we were on La Liga's profiles in English and Spanish. I was telling Javi that all Real Madrid have 7 different language profiles in Twitter. In all the profiles, we were there in, you know, they showed our mannequin challenge. That was great for us. That was awesome.
I will try to find that and put that in the show notes. Javi, do you want to say something?
Well, no, just the last thing I wanted to say is invite the Atlanta soccer community to come to Old Blind Dog Irish Pub any day, any time that we're here. We welcome the community. We're happy to be a part of the community. We're certainly excited about Atlanta United kicking off next year, and we'll all be there supporting them as well. We had several members and the head of the Chelsea Blues here with us today. Right, Chelsea,
Atlanta Blues, yeah.
And so, you know, again, we just open our arms to the Atlanta soccer community.
Yeah, we're really happy to have them. This is not the first time that they come. Sometimes we also go to their events. Tomorrow they have a Christmas party. We're gonna be present as, you know, as part of the football community here in Atlanta. You know, we really think that we have to support each other. We are the only official Spaniard supporters club, I will say. And it's important for us, you know, to have a really good understanding with the other supporters club as well.
Absolutely. I want to move on to maybe, as we're running out of time here, maybe your favorite El Clasico memory, either on TV or in person, if you can narrow it down to one or two, like the moment in this rivalry for you guys.
I will go first.
Okay,
I will say that even though we did not win that game, I think that the game that we tied 1-1, that Raul, he's my idol, and where Raul scored at Camp Nou and just did the silence sign to 100,000 culeros out there, that's something that I have in my memory that will never erase. So
I have a much more recent one, and it's certainly the epic Gareth Bale, gallop down the sideline. It's just amazing. He gets the ball and on the Real Madrid end of the field, totally puts it out in front and outruns Bartra to get to the ball. Even goes out of bounds to outrun him, and then comes in and takes out the goalie with a low shot below the goalie. So.
Yeah,
I think Bartra's still looking for that ball.
Well, Bartra's hamstring's still looking for that ball.
I still love the – I don't know if you've seen this photo, but there's a great photo of Gareth Bale after the goal celebrating, and he's obviously just going crazy. But behind them, he just happened to get in front of a bleacher that was just full of Barcelona fans, and they're all telling him how he's number one. So it was pretty amazing, yeah.
So before this, I watched, I found a YouTube video of every league goal from 1980 till today. And, you watch them, and there's some scrappy ones, there's some fine finishes, there's some penalties. And even though this wasn't a league Clasico game, the Bale, in terms of individual effort, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better individual goal. Ronaldo's had a couple... in his time in Madrid, Messi's maybe had one or two, but Bale went the half the length of the field, and I was watching that, and I was just like, "Oh my God, he just did that!" And that was his first year. Correct me if I'm wrong, and he struggled. I think it's fair to say that he struggled to fit in. But in that moment, I would argue, you guys obviously know better than me. From that moment, he has fit in, and like his injury has actually impacted the team.
Yeah, no, I will say, and this is just to go with Garrett. I don't think that he have a problem to fit him in the team. I think he was kind of looking for his position to play. But I will say that he on his first season, he scored the second goal in the Champions League final, and he scored the winning goal on the Copa del Rey. That season, we won 4 trophies, including the Club World Cup. I think I don't really, and I told Javi that the other day, I don't really care if he was injured 4 months, because when he came back to the pitch, he made it happen. And he was definitely worth the money we paid for him.
Yeah, no, there's not much else to add about Gareth Bale. I don't know if he was that missed today. I think one of the things about this year's Real Madrid is the depth of our players. I mean, not only Gareth Bale has been out due to injury, but everybody from Cristiano early on in the season to, Modric and some other, Casemiro just a few weeks ago, all of them have spent a considerable amount of time away from the team this season. And we're still, we're still on a winning streak of 33, 34 games. Not a winning streak, but an undefeated streak. And we're top of the table. We're 6 points ahead of our nearest rival. And so I think that speaks a lot to the team. I think there's been a lot of doubt about Zizou and his coaching style. But, you got to take your hat off to the guy.
And also, and only that, I'm really, when I see TV shows and talking about the Golden Ball, I think that there's no question about who will win the Golden Ball this year, and it's Cristiano Ronaldo. There's no other way around in that one.
So, tangent alert. So, of all the years that Messi and Ronaldo have been passing it back and forth, of all of the years, by far, this is the year Ronaldo should win it. It shouldn't even be it should be a short list of one person. He won the Champions League. He leads Portugal, who has 2 dates, won absolutely zero. He leads them to the European champions, the European championship. For me, it's not a question. But anyway, I mean, he is the best player this year. In this last calendar year, he has done more. He has done more with less. He has done more with more. He's absolutely the best player. Like, 2016 is his year.
I just totally agree with you.
I mean, they have to be. There's no, you know, like I mentioned before, there's no other way around. I think not only that, with his whole 2016 has been incredible, and not only with the club but also with his national team. Going to your question, I will say that the only year that I think that neither Cristiano or Messi deserve to win the Golden Ball, and I'm gonna go with this one really, you know, thinking that I'm not a Real Madrid fan. It was in 2010 that I really thought that Andres Iniesta was the one that should win the Golden Ball that year. Other than that, I mean, there's some, you know, I will say that Cristiano deserves every single year since he's done Real Madrid, but that's just a personal opinion. Yeah.
Let's just finally touch on, you briefly mentioned depth, and when I, you know, sort of skim the roster, I don't follow La Liga as closely as I used to, but when I skim the roster, I noticed that, again, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Morata in, Hesse and Arbeloa out. That was essentially the transfer business this summer.
More or less, actually. Yeah, yeah. More or less, yeah.
And, you know, when you think of Madrid, it's Galactico in, guy who doesn't fit in out. And, like, it seemed very, I don't know, muted is probably not the, quiet. It just seemed, but yet this season, I think they found a calm. I'd love to hear your opinion, but I felt they felt like they found a calm at the end of last season, and it's just keeping it going. Nothing drastic, just keeping it going.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all goes back to Zizou. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He took over the team that, you know, this time last year, it was nuts. I mean, it was crazy. We had tied in the Calderon. You know, we had lost against Barça in our own, you know, at the Bernabeu. You know, things were going just terrible for us last year at this time. And he picked up the team, and, you know, he lost against Atletico in the Bernabeu. But ever since then, except for, you know, kind of tripping over ourselves against Wolfsburg, it's this 30-something game unbeaten streak since then.
Also, I will add as well that we have to remember that Zidane was the coach of the second team of Real Madrid. And most of these guys that you see right now, Nacho, Casemiro, Lucas Vazquez, we have Carvajal, you know, all of these guys was under his care at that time. I think that
or not only under not only played maybe for him on the youth team, but he was also the assistant coach under Ancelotti, so he knows the squad very well.
And also, you know, we have to think. I will say that I love the approach that Florentino took this the last transfer window, and no go crazy. I will, you know, we were talking about the $80 million that United pay for Pogba. I don't think, and with all due respect to Pogba, he's an awesome player, great player, but I don't think he is on the level of Messi or Cristiano. And I love that Florentino will not go crazy for that. I will say, and in other transfer windows, Florentino, you know, because we want to be on every single front page of sports newspapers and websites, you know, to get anything just because we were Real Madrid. No, I really like the approach that he took this transfer window. We're not gonna go crazy. We're gonna go for what we want and for what, and most importantly, what Zinedine Zidane wants.
Let's leave it there. You know, regardless of what happens the rest of the season, you guys are gonna be here every week at Old Blind Dog in Brookhaven. Great atmosphere, raffle, scars, memberships. You guys are doing your membership drive for 2017. So make sure to check out the website. What's the website one more time?
Madridistas, MADRIDISTAS ATL.com. Yep.
Perfect. Check them out if you're, you're interested in Real Madrid. Definitely worth a look. You guys have been super supportive for me, and I appreciate you guys taking some time. You guys are always welcome me here. I got to play with you guys this summer for the Soccer in the Streets Champions League. I really appreciate that. That was a fun afternoon. You guys brought all the flags and set up a tent, and that was awesome. So best of luck this season. I got a new tent for this season. But I just want to thank you guys for everything and taking some time after a big day. I know you guys got a lot to do, but just thank for taking some time and all the best.
All right. Thanks, Austin. We really appreciate you coming out and supporting us as well.
I just want to add, thank you very much. You know, you're always welcome here. And I see that, I just want to be really thankful for everything you do, not only for supporting the Real Madrid Supporters Club, but every single Supporters Club. You have been there. You have been watching what we do. And I think that's what we need in Atlanta. We have to remember Atlanta is not a big soccer city. But with people like you and with all the work you do, I'm pretty sure that we're going to be in that level in the future.
Okay. Well, many thanks. So Barcelona won, Real Madrid won. Watch the game here with Madridistas ATL, and we will talk to you guys later.
So that's it for this episode of the Soccer Nomad Podcast. I just want to thank Madridistas ATL again for letting me hang out with them and watching the game. And I just want to thank you for listening. Special thanks goes to Nwiki Media for use of the recording equipment. They've been extremely helpful. Everything that we talked about today should be in the show notes, including the books that we referenced. They're on the recommended reading page of the Soccer Nomad blog. And I also did a post probably in 2011 or 12 about comparing the two clubs throughout the year, so I encourage you to check those out. Finally, I just want to get your thoughts and memories of the game, of this game specifically, or El Clasico in general. Please tweet me at AustinLong1974 or post in the Potomac page for this episode. Thanks again for listening, and this has been Austin Long for the Soccer Nomad Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Soccer Nomad Podcast. Let me know what you think by commenting on the Podomatic page or giving the show a review and rating on iTunes. And help me spread the word by sharing this podcast with a fellow soccer fan. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974 and please visit my blog soccernomad.wordpress.com for posts on kits, memories, and more. Thanks again.